good morning. I needed that song, Karen. Thank you. Gosh, it's been beautiful to be with you guys this weekend. I really needed some Kilwin's ice cream. Yeah, and I needed time away with women and time away with the Lord. This has been... been really good. I just want to remind you of some of the things that we've heard this weekend. Mindy reminding us about love and empathy and listening, and Mary Catherine talking about what community ought to look like, and how it's God's good design that we be in community, and then we fail at it. But it is his good design. And I want to remind you about Marion. I love that word she brought to us, wish dreamer. That is me in so many ways. But to be instead a giver and to see the gift of this group, even if this community is flawed, right? To see it as God's mercy to us. So if we think about those things, if they are true, right, that God made us for community, that Jesus came here not just to save individuals, but to build a group. If that's true, if we are richer when we are deeply involved with God's people, if it's true that the world needs us to show them what real community is and to be the church, the hands and feet of Jesus, to send that we've been sent to help people and serve them and love them. If all that's true, what's the next step? Right? What are you doing when you leave here? I would bet, I hope, many of you have already felt that urging, that move from the Spirit, right? You know what you're going to... Show of hands, we're going to be interactive today. Show of hands, you got a next step, some of you? Right? And if you haven't got a next step, I mean, maybe it's you just need to show up to small group. Maybe it's you need to serve somebody. I don't know what he's prompting you to do, but I bet that he has something for you. Because our God is interested in growing you. He's not interested in stagnation, right? So before you leave here or right after you get home, like, spend some time with this. What is he asking you to do next? Because I guarantee he has something. So that being said, once you've figured out your next step, once I know my next step, how do I get myself to take it? Because frankly, all weekend long, as much as I love you guys, and as much as I'm up here teaching on community, what I'm really thinking is that community is scary. It's hard. It's risky. Years ago when we did the first retreat on community, I talked about why we often avoid God's people. And, you know, I had things like, well, we get too busy, or we don't know our gifts, we don't know how to use them, we feel like we don't make a difference. But more and more, I think we are just afraid of each other. COVID convinced us, a lot of us, that it was just safer to be home. Political divisions have made us distrustful of each other. The internet, which used to be where I got on to see your happy puppy videos, right, now has become a place of anger, conflict. When I bring up a question or express my disagreement, more and more the chances are that I'm going to get attacked in return. I've been in a lot of doctor's offices, and I don't know if you've noticed, but in every doctor's office now, they're hanging this thing on the wall that talks about the abuse that they don't want to take from you. Because abuse in the workplace, in the medical workplace, is up 50%. What is up with this world that nurses cannot feel safe? It's the friction that Mandy was talking about, that there's friction, and there's always that chance that somebody's going to hurt me. Right? It's not just those of us that are introverted or social have social anxiety anymore. It's we all feel it, that relationships are off and that we better tread carefully around each other. People are scary, y'all. I mean, you guys are beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. I mean, you're beautiful. But people in general are scary. And this is the enemy's plan. Fill us with fear so that we want to sit the ride out. So, if God is asking me to be a part of community and to love and serve his people, how do I conquer my fear of those very same people? How do I risk sharing my inner thoughts, my dreams, my sadnesses, my possessions, my life with you? Because I do want to love you. I want to serve the people. I want to be part of this body. I want the blessings and the joy and the fulfillment and all that life that God gives us when we are deeply involved. But I also want to stay out of conflict. I am scared of the hard work. I want to watch church from the safety of my living room. I want to close my ears and put on blinders and walk along ignorant of what needs fixing. So this is my thesis today. We need courage to be in community. And this is what I hope to give you today. A little plan for how to tap into that bravery. I don't think bravery in Western society anyway, it's not really a word that a lot of people associate with women. Right, traditionally, Western culture, courage has been the domain of male heroes. Warriors in battle, men undertaking risks. We're the ones that faint when the danger shows up. We need the rescuing. But I think courage is very much a woman's topic. I mean, women are the ones that give birth, right? Just saying, that's the scariest thing you will ever do. Women missionaries go off often by themselves to foreign countries with foreign languages and hostile governments. Women took on hunger strikes to win the vote. Women were very much a part of the battle against Jim Crow and slavery. Right? Women can be fierce. I think sometimes we just forget we have that in us. So here are three ways to remind ourselves of, to tap into and increase our bravery. All right, first one. I want you to spend some time with the women of the Bible. Ladies, the Bible certainly does not ascribe all the courage to men. There are some rock star sisters in Scripture. God has given us inspiration and instruction in their stories. Talking about Shiphrah and Puah, two Israelite midwives in ancient Egypt. If you know this story, Exodus 1, you'll find them there. It details how Pharaoh told these two women and probably other midwives to kill any baby boy that was born to the Israelites. But Shiphrah and Puah deceived Pharaoh. They delivered those babies. And in verse 19, they say to him, "I don't know, the babies are popping out too quickly. Just can't stop them. What can we do?" These women could have been killed for this deception. But community, the birth of babies into the community, was worth risking their lives for. Saving the community was too important to give in to the fear. And God rewarded their righteous bravery. The Bible says he dealt well with them and gave them families of their own. So you get the moral of the story, right? Women can stand up to evil, and women must stand up to evil for the good of the church. Another brave woman is Rahab, who's also in Exodus. Rahab was a prostitute in the city of Jericho. It's a pagan city about to be demolished by Israel when we meet her. She invites two Israelite spies into her home, and she hides them from the authorities. And like the midwives, if she's found out, it's death for her. But Rahab doesn't have time for that fear. She wants to be out of that pagan community she has known all her life. I mean, that's bravery in itself, right? Leave that community and be numbered with God's people. This is scary, abandoning everything. Some of you may have done that when you became Christians. Some of you may still have things to let go of to be more a part of this group. Rahab's story reminds us that being in Christian fellowship is worth the losses that come. I know, she says in verse 9, that the Lord has given you Israelites this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. But Rahab's not melting in fear. She has a holy fear of an awesome, victorious God that gives her courage. Rahab's story reminds us that leaning into the character of God fills us with boldness. Now then, she says to the spies, in a really bold move, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. See, like the midwives of Egypt, Rahab asked people that she's saving. She got to protect her family. And when Jericho falls, God again rewards that obedient bravery, right? I want to encourage you. God will reward your bravery. Rahab and her family become welcome members of Israel. I want to tell you about Deborah, a prophetess in the time of the judges. I mean, she gets two chapters. She's so cool. So the Canaanites are causing a lot of trouble for Israel when Deborah shows up. She sends for this general, Barak, and instructs him to do battle with the army of Jabin. But Barak, I mean, even though he's a man, he's a little wary. He's a little nervous about this whole thing, going into battle. He requests that she, Deborah, a woman, go into battle with him. And Deborah says, man, that is man's work. No, that is scary. I'm staying home. No, she does not, right? Because pushing back fear and supporting Barak and making sure her people win the battle, this is what God has called her to do. Who knows? Maybe she even carried a sword. The Bible doesn't say she didn't. And after they win that battle, the Bible records a song that Deborah sings. She says, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, that's a woman who drove a stake into a guy's head. Just saying. Brave women, yeah. Right? All right. In the days of Shamgar, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. And what she's talking about there is how everybody was too scared to travel out in the open. She says, villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose. Until I arose a mother in Israel. I just think Deborah is so awesome because she inspires bravery in this whole male army. Right, ladies, a woman's courage is courageous. I mean, sorry, contagious. Courageous, too. Old Testament, you gotta love it. Mary Catherine, Esther, right? Wonderful example, married to the king of Persia, secretly a Jew. Esther discovers that there's a plot to kill the entire nation of Israelites. It's up to her as the queen to beg for the lives of her people, but it's also a really risky thing to enter the king's throne room. She tells her uncle, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called in. Still, there's a race of people to save. What we see Esther do next is key, and I want you to pay really close attention. She asks her uncle and all the Jews of Susa to fast and pray for her for 3 days. Ladies, God has given us some sacred practices that build courage. Do you partake in them? When you are approaching a difficult thing that makes your knees shake, do you pray? Do you fast? These are life-giving, strength-building practices. You need them. So fortified with that fasting and prayer, Esther puts her life on the line. She approaches the king and asks him for mercy, and lo and behold, God again rewards the bravery with the salvation of Israel from their enemies. Rock star sisters, yeah? I mean, each woman taking these huge risks, empowered by her love for God and his people. Each one seeking to save the people from destruction. See, God's church relies on the bravery of women. The examples of these women cry out to us. Are we standing up against evil? Are we willing to risk our comfort or even our safety for each other? This group of ladies and the men back home, it's your Christian family. What will you do to protect each other? And maybe at this point you're saying, yeah, I don't really feel like I'm being called to go to battle like that, you know, like these chicks. But ladies, I see major battles going down every single day. We have a formidable enemy who would love to take down the church. He would love to see this beautiful conglomeration of races and tribes, women and men, poor and rich, weak and strong, pulled apart. He is trying to peel you away and peel others away from the group. And that's not a snatch. Every time you walk in the doors of small group or prayer or Sunday morning worship, you are doing battle. Every time you ignore fear and share your faith, you are doing battle for the church. Every meal you make for a shut-in sister, every phone call to check on the friend who left the church, every offer of forgiveness to the people who hurt you, these are major battles. But I'm not done. We got some New Testament ladies we got to talk about too. I want you, she's already been mentioned twice because she's so great, but the woman at the well from John 4. Okay? I love her. She is so spunky. She is, when she first appears, she's this cautious, sarcastic, guarded woman. She's a fallen woman with a handful of husbands. She's come to the well in the heat of the day because she wants to avoid the women, the people. Anybody else other than me resonate with the desire to avoid the people sometimes? But Jesus is so kind. He does not leave us in that fear. He approaches her and asks her for water. Whoa, you are a Jew, she says. Now, I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? See, she's trying to push him away. But Jesus pursues her. He pursues us. He has a deep theological conversation with her about the nature of worship and true fulfillment. He reveals himself as the Messiah. And it doesn't take her long to realize that this God, who knows all the truth about her past, this God is never going to reject her. And the presence of Jesus in her life, life-changing. She becomes an evangelist. She runs off to find people. I mean, a minute ago, she was hiding from them. Now she runs off to find them. Come to the whole village. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Reputation and fear don't matter to her anymore. What matters is the desire to bring more lost souls to the Savior. I want you to think about the brave women at the cross, staying close together to weather the terror of watching their Messiah be crucified. The Gospels list 6 women. Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Joanna, Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene, and Salome. Nearly all the men have fled. There's a risk of being identified among Jesus' followers and kicked out of the Jewish community. But these brave women remain with Jesus because women know that in community, we stay close to the ones who are suffering, right? Romans 16 lists several brave women. Phoebe, who carried Paul's letter to the church, and this would have been a dangerous task, not just because travel was perilous, but also because of the chance that she could get intercepted. Persecuted for carrying this letter. Then there's Priscilla, and Paul says she opened her home to the church and risked her life for me. I don't know what that entailed, but risked her life. And then there's Junia, who Paul says was in prison with him. Fear was not about to stop any of these women from doing what they needed to do, which was to be in community, bring others to community, and save the community from danger. Ladies, these are your spiritual ancestors. This is the stock you come from. Okay, interaction. Let's try this. Repeat after me. I come from a long line of brave women.
I come from a long line of brave women.
I can be brave too.
I can be brave too.
Read their stories. I've given you all the specific passages for them on the notes page for the talk. Take inspiration from them. Imitate them. Ask yourself what brave thing God might want you to do. So you're going to pay attention to the women. And then the second way to find courage inside you is to pay attention to Jesus. Look at him in the gospel accounts. Our courage comes from eyes pointed to God, fixing our thoughts on the King of Courage. Jesus, who from his birth was under death threats from kings. Jesus, who left the glories of heaven to brave the painful life of a human because he wanted to identify completely with us. Jesus, who left the comfort of home and family to wander the wilderness with the beasts. And come face to face with the devil himself because he knew he had to face temptation like his people did. Jesus, who knew his reputation was at stake for bringing prostitutes and tax collectors on the journey with him. Jesus' bravery existed in the form of brandishing a whip in the temple and also in verbally calling out Pharisees, but also in loving outcasts. And gently healing on the Sabbath, both of which were going to put him at odds with people in power. Although he knew the journey would take him through rejection to torture and crucifixion, Jesus set his face like flint toward Jerusalem. He knew he would have to be completely alone and completely condemned by the Father, but the only way to save us was to die for our sin. He wanted to build a community of lost souls, redeemed. He wanted you. He was brave for you. Looking at his bravery, I hope there's a bravery starting to build inside you. You get inspired. And can you feel the pride that you have in him boosting your own spirit? Can you feel yourself wanting to love someone else the way he loved, taking risks for them and serving them selflessly? That's the Holy Spirit inside you, expanding your courage. When you chose Jesus, you received the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the comforter, the sanctifier, the enabler, the ultimate empowerer, who enables you to do the scary things. Bravery comes from that assurance. It comes from the assurance that God in his sovereignty made you a vital part of this church for just such a time as this. In Christ, we are free to make mistakes. We are free to have flaws. We are free to take risks. In 2 Timothy, God promises that you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline. If God puts you in front of something hard, he promises that in his crazy, mysterious, miraculous way, he's going to give you courage. Let's speak it out loud. I have been given the Spirit of Christ. A spirit not of fear.
Spirit not of fear.
But of power and love and discipline.
But of power and love and discipline.
I can do hard things.
I can do hard things.
The final way for us to gain bravery is by being with each other. Look at the women, look at Jesus. Look at each other. How many of you came this weekend because someone else promised to come with you? How many of you have said yes to a Bible study because your friend was going to? How many of you have persuaded a friend to attend church by promising you will sit with her? Yes. We gain bravery by being brave together. Dear friend of mine who is a public school teacher up in Pennsylvania, we still write letters to each other. Snail mail's great. She was writing me recently about the active shooter plan that she has with her students. This is what she said. I would 100% throw myself at a gunman at school. We train for it. I go over our procedure with all my students on the first day. If we can't get out the window and if locking down isn't possible, if he comes in, we throw everything we can find at him. And I go in for the tackle. I don't know why this does not scare me at all. After that, the students are supposed to dogpile on top until the resource officer rescues us. That's our plan. My friend is a tiny woman, too. I mean, 110 when she's wet, maybe. But she is going to tackle the shooter. And her students are going to pile on. How are they going to do this? Together. This is what we are doing this weekend. We are tackling on and piling up on the enemy together. We are taking a stand and saying that community matters, and we will do what it takes to have it, even scary things. Some of you left little ones in the husband's hands to come here, and that was brave. Some of you risk taking time off from work, even though the finances are pretty tight. Some of you face that fear of meeting new people. One of my favorite things at the women's retreat each year is the worship. So very precious to me to hear you sing. Sometimes I close my eyes and I just listen. Highly recommend it, but don't all do that at the same time. Because then there'd be none of us singing and that wouldn't work out. But it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I just close my eyes and I think, this is what these gals are going to be in heaven with me. This morning, I'm thinking about the multitude of secret house churches around the world where women cannot sing because of the risk of being heard or arrested or worse. Around the world today, the persecuted church is meeting. They know it's vital for them to cling together. Somewhere out there, our sisters cluster around a single illegal Bible, sharing God's word together despite the danger. They dare to bow their heads together knowing that where two or more are gathered, there is great risk, but there is also Christ. They believe this is worth dying for. Ladies, what a gift we have here. If they can take the risk of meeting together, surely we can brush off our own fears of intimacy or conflict or rejection. Speak this truth out loud. We are braver when we are together.
We are braver when we are together.
So what's your next step? There are a million ways that you can be brave for this community. The risks you take will look different than the risk of others. Maybe your bravery just comes by walking in the door, fighting back the panic attack or the voice that tells you that you are not enough. If that's you, you are so brave. Sometimes a sister will come to you in suffering, questioning her faith. In these moments, your bravery is needed because you are needed to listen to her questions and doubts without freaking out yourselves. You have to hold on to belief for your sister, and you can do this. Standing with the weak, the helpless, the suffering, it's scary. Maybe, like Mindy talked about, maybe it's not even saying a word, you're just listening, but it's still scary. Sometimes our impulse when we see people in pain is to look away. But we must not. It is, yes, scary to walk with a sister through divorce. It is scary to sit with her in a cancer ward. But women are built for this. You can do this. It takes bravery to love difficult people, to love people who can't give you anything back. Spending time and energy and giving your heart away is risky. What if I don't get loved in return? You can do that. It takes bravery to confess our sins, to speak our faults, our weaknesses, our needs, to cry in front of each other. We can do those hard things. It's scary to speak truth to your sister when she sins, maybe even just to offer some wisdom because it looks like she's doing something foolish. The potential in those situations for conflict and rejection is huge, but you can do that. It takes bravery to sit still and listen to somebody else's concern for you or what you have done to them, to let another speak into your life, to not get defensive, but stay humble and accepting. You can do this. All new friendships start with bravery. That first step out of your own comfortable friend group toward a stranger, it's a big one. Ladies, the shy women, the hurt women around you, they need you to be brave. They need you to befriend them and convince them that it's worth being here. It takes bravery to be generous with other believers, to consider your belongings, not your own. I know quite a few of you who have done that, who have given away cars, chunks of money, or let women live in your house. And that is bravery. And you can all do that. Sometimes it takes bravery to ask for help or to let people serve you. You have that bravery too. It takes bravery to chase down new community members. Maybe to step over to the neighbor's house and invite her to church. Please go find the timid ones, the anxious ones, and bring them in. You have that bravery. It takes bravery to speak up against evil, to call out a bully, to speak up when one of your sisters is hurt by another. Sometimes, honestly, unfortunately, the church has turned a blind eye to injustice. But we can look squarely at sin, corruption, and abuse and call it out. You have that bravery. Maybe God is asking you to reach out after being hurt and to forgive and love again. You are so brave. Maybe God wants you to lead a small group, lead a Bible study, lead a prayer group. And I know some of you are thinking, I'm not doing that. But I want to encourage you to think, well, maybe, because he's not finished with me yet. We can do these things. We have to do these things. As you go down the mountain this afternoon, remember the women of Scripture. Remember the courage of your Savior. Remember who lives inside you. Remember that you are not alone. We women were built for relationship and built for radical bravery. Let's show the world what we can do. No, I'm supposed to pray with you. And that's a sweet privilege. We're going to do this a little bit differently. If you are not right beside somebody, please move so that you are right beside at least one person. And if you were here last year, you know I love some slowing down and meditating just a little bit, so we're going to do this. All right, we're going to take a risk. I want you to reach to the person beside you and take their hand. I want you to hold at least one person's hand. Love you. You actually did it. I'm so proud. Okay. I didn't know if that was going to go over or not. Okay. Hang on. Okay, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath in and out. And just listen to the sounds around you for a moment. And be aware of where you are in this room. And feel the presence of your sisters. And feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And as you breathe in, just repeat to yourself, the Lord is the strength of my life. And again, say to yourself, the Lord is the strength of my life. And as you breathe out, let the second part go. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? Lord, may your Spirit fill us now with all assurance and courage. Those who look to you are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Spirit, bring this truth home to us. Lord, we confess that we have failed at community. We have been selfish, thoughtless, neglectful, impatient. We have failed. Just take a moment, ladies, and if there's something that God is bringing to mind, confess it to him. Lord, forgive us. Have mercy. We know that in your mercy, you will complete what you have begun. We are sure of this, that you who began a good work will bring it to completion. As you breathe in, say to yourself, he will bring this work to completion. Thank you, God, for your steadfast work in our lives. Lord, we offer you thanksgiving for this beautiful weekend and this opportunity. Ladies, in your minds, would you list maybe two things that you're thankful for and just tell him? Lord, have mercy and make us into something truly miraculous.